all were home and we were by ourselves, and but there was different avenues that allowed us to worship. And that was a blessing. And I was like, oh, this is good. But when we came back in the house of the Lord, it was something extra special. About coming back into fellowship amongst our brothers and our sisters. And that specialness is, in the word it says, even when the Lord brought those together to break bread, to do the Lord's Supper, to pray, it brought worship.
morning.
Morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. This.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, we can give him some hand praise for that because he saw fit to bring us through another week. Touch your heart with a finger of gratification and beckon you to come out to the house of praise.
Yes, yes.
For he is worthy and he is worthy alone. I don't know what kind of week you've had, and I trust that, again, it could have been better. But the Lord is good.
Yes, he is.
The Lord knows everything. And it just seems like if you falter and stumble along the way and lose our focus, we become more of a target for the enemy. And we are more of a target because we worship the true living God. And Satan does not want us to do that. So I simply just give him thanks for allowing me to be in his presence.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
And to be in the presence of the saints this Sunday morning. To edify and lift up one another. To build up and not tear down.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yes.
To support. To strengthen. And place someone above your needs and your desires, just as others, more so than yourselves.
Yes.
And my brothers and my sisters, we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us to do that. As we prepare to go into our communion service, if you just meditate on the words of being grateful, his grace is sufficient, because my strength has given out a long time ago. But gracious is our Lord. Of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, and I'll read this scripture, it says that when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, to do this in remembrance of me." And then he had taken the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This is the cup in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And it says, "For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. And that whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." So it charges us to examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the body, the Lord's body. And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. God's word for God's people. This represents the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You may eat. The blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shed for you, Calvary, for the remissions of our sins. Let us drink together.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Put your hands together for the sacrifice of our Lord. If there are those in the vestibule, you may allow them in. This is time. As we have another opportunity to come before the throne of grace in corporate prayer and praise. About who God is in your life, what he means to you. And we're learning in grace that it's not always about what we get, but to come into a deeper understanding of who he is. Invite you that if you so choose, you may come forth. Otherwise, just stand in the pews and know that you're in the presence of the Lord. Mercy and grace cannot reach. Whatever we're going through, if you just think on it, our Father and our God, Lord of our lives, Lord, sometimes we don't recognize and acknowledge you as being in the position that you so rightly deserve. Lord, I pray that you would never remove your spirit from us. Pray and give thanks because you chose to praise your spirit within us. Lord, I pray and give thanks for renewing our minds. I thank you, Heavenly Master, that day by day, you continue to shower us with grace and your mercy. And Lord, when things seemingly like they don't go in a right direction, you're still there in our midst and in our presence, protecting us, comforting us, and being that ever-present help. Lord, we simply ask first of all to thank you for the forgiving us of the sins and transgressions we have committed against you, and they are many. But Lord, because you went to the cross, you died for those sins. Sins past, sins present, sins future. Your blood did wash, making us worthy to have a place in your kingdom.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord.
So, Lord, we ask that you would just, I know it's a process, dear Lord, working on us, cleaning us up, renewing us. But thank you, Lord, that you never take your hand away from us.
Thank you, Lord.
You gave us that right, Lord, that we could come before you.
Yes, yes.
And now, Lord, right now, we just open up our mouths.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
To express how grateful
thank
we are.
You, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank
we you. We praise you, Heavenly Father. Listen for your voice of direction, guidance. Each other.
Yes.
Lord, we pray for grace and mercy.
Yes, thank you.
We thank you, Heavenly Master, that you won't cast us aside. Search our minds and our hearts, and you know what to do when we can't explain or express, Lord. So we just ask that you would just accept our praise, keep us humble. That's always stayed on you. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for the fellowship of your church, those that you have called. We pray, Heavenly Master, for those that are sick and afflicted. Those, Heavenly Master, that wish they had the opportunity, dear Lord, to come out and be amongst the saints.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Those that are less fortunate.
Yes.
You know them by name, Lord. We just lift them up.
Yes, yes, yes.
For your eternal care. We ask, Heavenly Father, if you would just bless your anointed one. Bless our leader, Heavenly Father. Bless and grant peace and comfort and protection. Unwavering love to his family, Lord. Keep each and every one covered. Lord, we pray for that. give thanks for everything that you're doing in our lives. We even, Heavenly Master, know that sometimes we can just thank you for the discipline that you apply to our lives, dear Lord, which you apply just to lovingly correct us and turn us around. Have your way and give us grace to stand. These and all blessings we pray for and give thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. This is just a moment that we take, and it always should be an ongoing moment when we are always giving, giving unto others, giving of your time. Oftentimes we say, well, I don't have anything to give. Well, but you do. Kind word, yeah. Smile. This is just a moment here, an official moment that we're just extending for you the opportunity to give your tithes and offering. But there's something that we can always give. That's what a Christian is supposed to be, not giving. And if we are to emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he always gave. Giving unto others, thinking about others more so than himself. Our scripture reading comes from Luke, the 6th chapter, the 38th verse. And it says, give, and it shall be given unto you. So you're going to give a blessing. You're going to get a blessing when you give. And in this case, the scripture says that good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall your blessing be. And it says, with the same measure that you meet, with it all shall be measured to you again. It's God's word for God's people. Heavenly Master, we give back to you that which you so mercifully and graciously given and provided to us. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would receive and accept thy gifts, that they're coming from a pure heart, not of need and necessity, but, dear Lord, from a pure heart, used to edify your kingdom. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. There will be two baskets circulating. The wicker basket is for you to give of your benevolent offerings, and the silver tray is for you to give of your tithes and offerings. You may give at this time. God bless you.
Worship Christ. We ain't gonna be quiet up in here. So, we didn't already talk about what a fellowship it is to come amongst each other, right? So then we just got through singing, Hold Out. The sun is gonna shine, right? And he's shining. He always shines because we're here. We know he shines. So now we're gonna celebrate him. We're gonna worship him even the more. So, those of you that know this song know we celebrate this song. So let's celebrate the Lord. Come on, get up on your feet. Come on, First Baptist, you know.
Just wanna praise you
forever and ever
and ever
and ever
and ever
for all. Don't sing it to me. Blessings and glory.
Forever and ever
for all.
For all.
All you major to the many, all you done. Blessings and glory.
Within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. But if
all right now,
the storm don't see,
all right now,
and if the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. The storm keep on raging in my life. Sometimes it's hard to tell the night from the day. But still there's a hope that lies within. And I'm reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know He'll lead me safely to that blessed place He has prepared. Oh, but if the storms don't cease, and if the wind keeps on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Oh, that sometimes in this life, you're gonna be tossed. Sometimes the waves and the currents seem so fierce. But that's all right, cause in the Word of God, in the Word of God, I've got my anchor. How, Lord, it keeps me steadfast and unmovable despite the tide. But if the storms, if the storms don't cease, and just in case the wind keep on blowing in my life, my soul, I know that my soul has been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. My soul has been anchored in the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. Oh, oh, oh. My soul has been anchored in the Lord. That's why the billows may roll, the breakers may dash, but I shall not sway, because he holds me fast. So dark the day, there may be clouds in the sky, I know it's all right, cause Jesus is nigh. And my soul, 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 my soul has been anchored. My soul has been anchored.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
God, our gracious and heavenly Father, we come now to your word asking you to speak to us, speak through us, and continue to build us up into the image of your Son. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me start by saying Happy Mother's Day. And if I can, let me also do two more things with that. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers, and I'm praying God's comfort for all of the mothers who have lost children. This is such a painful reminder of what was lost. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of those, and I pray God's comfort on all of you who have wanted to have children, but it has not happened. I want to ask that during this time, God will give you comfort. And God will give you peace. I also want to ask that God will bless all of you who have recently lost your mother. Praying that this particular day will be one where he will show you his grace all over again. God, our Father, we come and we surrender ourselves to your word now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Beginning at verse number 1, and for our point of departure, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, in the Amplified Classic, "And you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually, you were following the course and fashion of this world, you were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, you were following the prince of the power of the air." In other words, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Before I go any farther, this includes all of us. This is where all of us were. Verse number 3, "Among these we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by ours. Corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." I need to repeat that. That's a very important part of our conversation. "In order to satisfy the great, wonderful, and intense love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead and slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. He gave us the very life of Christ himself, the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation." God's word for God's people. I'm going to speak briefly from the topic reflections. When we celebrate Mother's Day, one of the things that is inherent in the celebration is my little man there. I'm looking for my little man around here. I can't see him. Oh, he ain't here. Oh, okay, he ain't here today. All right. All right. When y'all see him, y'all tell him I missed him here. I see you. I see you. Well, she say, I see you too. I was asked, Sherry and Sister Jackie, your mother asked me about 20-something years ago. She said, why don't you preach about mothers on Mother's Day? It was a great question. I said, well, Deacon Ashford, and preach about the mother's love on Mother's Day. You know how she would say that, mother's love. Oh, I miss her. Preach about a mother's love on Mother's Day. And I shared with her, I said, Deacon Ashford, the Lord led me not to do that. She asked, why, Sister Barnes? And I said, because everybody does not have a fond memory when they say mother. We usually take for granted if we have had mothers who were nurturing, loving, kind. But my wife and I look at too many shows and we see where their mothers are pimping out their children. See where there are mothers who are sexually abusing their own children. See where there are mothers who are physically abusing, emotionally abusive, verbally abusive to their children. And it is not a matter of, well, I'm just fussing this day. It has left an indelible mark in that person to the point where they continue to relive that trauma. And sometimes it's unconscious because they can come and cross, Brother Fields, someone who unconsciously reminds them of, and they don't know that this anxiety, this dread, this fear that they feel inside, they're wondering what's going on. It's because of the tapes that are playing over. Everybody does not have a very positive view of mother, especially when your mother is one who has given you up when you were a child, and once you become an adult, you go find her and she lets you know, I didn't want anything to do with you then. Sister McClellan, amen, amen. Y'all give God some praise for Sister McClellan. Thank you for bringing her, Justin. They don't have that. You have some mothers who never attached to their children. And so they go through the rest of their life trying to find that attachment. It leads them in dark places because the need is so strong, because it wasn't we initially. So they continue to search and search and search, and we wonder, why do they seem to find themselves in the same situations over and over and over again? It's because of something they did not get that is inherent in someone wanting, but as they search for it, they don't know where to search or how. You have adults who will tell you, my mother never hugged me. when I was Sylvia working at, I forgot which one it was now, I think I was in Champaign, I was at Pastoral Care and Counseling, part of my doctoral program, counseling pastors and their families. I had no idea I was going to one day become a pastor. I was just pastoring. I was getting some money for my internship. So the thing was, I remember some of them coming in and saying things like, it's hard for me to try to use an analogy in life with individuals who are in pain, because when they tell you where they've come from, you know you can never undo that. We live with, we walk around with pain. We walk around with trauma. Everybody has it. We don't even know how it affects what we do. We don't know how it affects who we engage in. We don't know how it affects our reactions to other people, because it's deeply laden, and so much of it has gotten to the point where it's so deep we don't even know it's there. That's why I don't preach about mothers. But if I can use an analogy, when I talked about these reflections, for those who have been blessed to have wonderful mothers, now let me clarify something. No mother was perfect. Except for you, Sister Cook, you're the only one. You're the only one, Sister Cook. No mother was perfect. When a person has a child, that child automatically tumbles into their baggage. Tumbles into that baggage, so that basically when you're expecting this person to all of a sudden be the perfect mother, you have to look at nurturing, what was put in front of her. You have to look at experiences. You have to look at pain. You have to look at all of those things. And then that's the tip of the iceberg. Underneath the water is all the stuff she didn't tell you. That's why you can't tell nobody how they should be. We all carry that. And the thing I like about this, to the Jordan family, y'all look so cute. Y'all back together and everything. But you know, the thing I like about this is having this conversation. Because in church, when I grew up, nobody talked about this. I was supposed to shout coming in, shout going out. The stuff that Jesus is supposed to be healing in me, didn't nobody talk to me about. Didn't nobody talk to me about that. Love your enemies. How am I going to love my enemies when I won't even love myself? Understand the people that you're around. How am I going to do that when I don't even understand why I don't love them? So today, we're not going to have a therapy session. But whenever individuals are distant with you or are not acting the way you are accustomed to in your family, give them some grace. You don't know what they've been through. Give them some grace. Give them, Anita. Help my brother out over here about my wife. Give them some grace. Give them some grace. And don't think that your family is the template for all families. If you have been blessed to have been loved by a mother who was nurturing, who was caring, the first thing I encourage you to do is to share that with somebody else. Second thing I'd like to share with you is the fact that is that you, Brother Davis? Huh? I know it's him. I'll talk to you later. Hey, Jeff, what's going on, man? Yeah, I see a bunch of y'all ain't seen. I might start calling roll up in here today. It's really good to see all of you, though, seriously. But let me go on with the sermon for God's word, for God's people. When you're dealing with situations in your life, give grace to others. But then, if I can say this, learn to give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace. Justin, you ain't gonna get it all right. You ain't been down this road before. Two things you can be assured of in this life, Deacon Moore. Change and mistakes. Give yourself some grace, Christy. Give yourself some grace, Carmen. Give yourself some grace. Stop being harder on yourself than God is on you. Oh, yeah, go. Stop being harder on yourself than God is on you. And if you can't stop, ask God to help you stop. If you have been nurtured and with a loving family, here comes my third thing, which is my last one. My last thing with that, I got something else to say. But my third thing is this. If you've been nurtured by a loving mother, I want you to consider how similar your birth is to God's love. I want you to pay attention to how similar your birth and life are to God's love. One of the things that when we have our children, and you know, let me back up just a little bit. Parents, you did the best you could. They don't come with manuals. You did the best you could. Ease up on yourself. And when you say, Lord, I done ruined somebody, like all that kind of stuff, ease up on yourself. I was just talking to Tara about that after the funeral Thursday. Ease up on yourself. Look, you ain't going to destroy a life God created. God's going to make sure that the destiny is fulfilled. But this is the other thing I wanted to say. The comparison is this. When a mother has a child, not only from what I've told, from what I've seen, when a mother has a child, while she is carrying that child, ain't that right, homegirl? Amen, amen. While she is carrying that child, she loves a child she's never seen. she is deeply, Angie, in love with a child who has only heard her voice, but she's never heard and if other things are not in the middle, messing up things, and when I say messing up things like addictions, things of that nature, when having that particular child, you will do the best you can to take care of someone you have never seen yet, anticipate to the point where you give me a date. Ain't seen them. You anticipate. So you anticipate the promise. You anticipate the blessing. You are set and ready for the blessing. So much so that you rearrange your house. You rearrange your house for something that you've never seen. Something that is not here yet. Yet when God says, I got something for you, show me before I move one stick of furniture. I'm not saying it to be critical. I'm saying it for a comparative analysis. You love this being. You assume that the ultrasound is correct. You don't know the woman taking the ultrasound. You don't know who made the ultrasound. You just get the picture. Go outside showing everybody. You ain't seen no sex organ, the child, but the lady said, I think it's a girl. I'm going to have a girl. Now this is what I want to say. Faith ain't no problem with you. It's where you put it. After that baby is born, you love that baby so much, ain't nothing gonna get, you don't want nobody to get close to the baby. You don't want nobody breathing on the baby. You don't want nothing. You know what I'm saying? That's how you feel about that baby when that baby is born. Look, Sister Stephanie, all of that, all of this love, all that you are pouring out on this child, you freely give unashamedly, unabashedly. You don't care what anybody says. Uncompromisingly, you give all of this to this child who ain't done nothing to deserve it. All they did was keep you up. Amen. You had to change stuff, smell stuff you ain't never smelled before. And even when you're cleaning up that old nasty stuff, look at what the baby do, the baby do that. On someone who has not earned one iota of your love. Why do I say dim reflection? Multiply that by billions. That's how God feels about you. If I can, Deacon Barnes and Brother Fields, go back a little bit into eschatological history. He chose you when you didn't do nothing. Knowing everything you were going to do. But saying what you do will not nullify who you are. That love, Beverly, where you didn't earn it and you sure don't deserve it. But it's not because of you. It's because God, according to this scripture, loves you with a love so intense, so much so it hurts. He loves you with a love that breaks his heart. That's why in Isaiah it says whenever he has to punish his children, he's afflicted. And what we're trying to do is to get you to understand when you have that love, how folk feel about you doesn't matter. When you have that love, you can walk through your trials knowing that that love is going to bring you through. A love that led him watch his own son cry to him and not come help because that love was deep for you. Can I show y'all one more scripture before I close? Go to John 17. I want y'all to leave with this one. John 17. I want y'all, are y'all getting what I'm saying? That's how much he loves you. That's how important you are to him. I'm going to show you something Jesus said, and I'm just going to let you deal with John 17. Y'all there? Okay. Okay, good. Now, everybody, I usually don't ask much, but I'm going to ask this. For your edification. These are two verses I hope you put here. 22, verse 22. Jesus is praying to the Father in the garden. He says, I have given to them, talking about those he loves, the glory and honor which you have given me. Everybody see where I am? That they may be one even as we are one. 23 is one of the most profound verses in scripture. I in them and you in me, in order that they may become one and perfectly united. Now here we go. Here we go. Buckle up for this one. That the world may know and definitely recognize that you sent me, here we go, and that you have loved them. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. And Lieutenant, I'm going to turn this nickel over before I close. And since God and Jesus are one, It means God loves you as much as he loves himself. Does anyone in here? Anyone in here think that's good news? An intense love that you did not deserve, and you did not earn. He just chose you to have it. All right, that's all for today. God, our Father, we thank you for all that you are, all that you've done. Thank you for teaching us and beginning to really teach us how much you love us. Many of us did not know, but we ask you to please make that love so strong inside of us that your love will change us so we can love you back. There might be somebody here who's not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Right where you are, say, Lord, I believe you died for my sins at Calvary, and I believe that you arose 3 days later. After that, say, now, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And after that, thank him for doing it. You don't need to tell nobody. That's between you and God. If you're looking for a church where you can learn the word of God, grow in the word of God, worship God, where Jesus is King and Head, then we would love to invite you here. In front of you, there are slots in the pews that are in front of you. There's a card in the slot. Please feel free to take one, fill it out front and back, and on your way out of the sanctuary, just leave it in. There's a wooden box in the vestibule. Leave it in the wooden box, and members of the membership intake team will get that card and make contact with you as soon as possible. And it would be an honor for us to love you with the love of Jesus the Christ. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be all glory, all majesty, all dominion, and all power, not only now, but through the what? Eternities of the eternities. It is thankful. The name of Jesus in Greek, Yeshua in the Hebrew, that we pray. If you are thankful that God loves you, give him a great big hallelujah. And tell him, thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together. Give God some praise. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in the Lord.